On this episode, we tackle saving your wedding from your mother-in-law's questionable cooking, reaching your mom across the political aisle, and how to support a family member who's trying to get sober. All that and more on Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do ya? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg. It is so great to have you here. Let's say hello to my co-host and friend, Clark Crozier.
Hello. How are you? Clark, coming in hot.
Clark's coming in hot.
Woo. Episode two, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
My one criteria for a friend is how booming is their voice?
Yeah, everyone has to have proper microphone training before we're allowed to be friends with Theo.
Yes, Clark made the cut.
Me and the wealth of people that are constantly banging on your door.
Exactly.
Want to be your best friend.
I have a booming voice.
Well, welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back.
To Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg. If you're wondering why we chose that name, it is a little bit, it's tricky. I like the name. I thought it was goofy, but I also... You know, I'm here to give real advice.
Yeah, that's the key.
So I just thought the name was funny. And also, it's kind of like covering my ass, because if you want to turn around and sue me, you'll have to tell a judge you got bad advice from a show called Bad Advice.
Exactly.
Like, you know.
And even if you win the lawsuit, that's pretty funny.
It is.
It's kind of worth the joke just to see you do that.
And there's no such thing as bad publicity, as they say.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
And I like to think of it as like, like I was saying, We're friends with you now. We're the audience's friends. And, you know, your friends, they don't give you, the real true friends don't give you nice, easy advice. They give you bad advice. They give you like the advice that you need to hear.
Exactly.
Right? It's not always good advice. It's the advice that you need to hear.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're giving you.
True debt.
The down and dirty stuff. The real shit, I believe, is what it's called.
Yeah. So should we get to a...
Yeah, sure. Let's just start spinning.
For those of you who don't know, like, I don't know the questions.
That's right.
Before we go into these, Clark curates all the questions. He looks through all of your, you know, requests and responses so that I'm not, you know, planning out. Most of what I say is just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
A gut reaction to your queries.
Yeah. I mean, we felt like when we're out in public, LB and I, people like listening to us anyway. So we're just trying to be real. Exactly. We're not trying to put on a crazy song and dance show for you for this one. So,
exactly.
Before we go too far, I know that we've been thinking about a segment called, you're doing it wrong, right?
No, you missed the point.
You missed the point. And I'm missing the point. But here's a good preview question for the you missed the point segment. Listen to this one.
Hi, I'm John Toronto. I just learned about this Lori Beth Denberg podcast. I was actually wondering if I could ask a few questions.
So he called to ask if he could ask questions.
Your podcast is... before on Spotify.
He heard us before on Spotify, even though we haven't released anything.
So just call me back, 99-307-6108.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, well, we can cover that. But I just thought, like, what a weird way to start.
It's oddly polite, though.
Very polite, but he's calling to ask if he can ask a question. It just felt like it needed a little spotlight on it just to give it a little life.
But I wonder if we wrote him back and said, of course you can, he'd be like, all right, here, I need some help.
I think we should just call him back and just say, yeah, you can ask a question and then hang up.
Oh, That is pretty interesting. to ask, but very polite.
Very, very polite.
Very polite.
I thought it was. All right. Now let's get to the real first question of the day. This prize, having a little problem with a mother-in-law. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Long-time fan. I'm getting married in 3 months, and my future mother-in-law is has some very like interesting ideas for the wedding, and most notably the catering. Wants to cook herself, prepare the food herself for 100 people, and cooking's terrible. So I'm not quite sure what to do about that without offending her like majorly. So any advice would be awesome. Thank you. Longtime fan. And thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. Well, thank you for being a fan.
Yeah.
And thank you for calling in. I really appreciate that. That is a tricky question.
Right.
Part of me feels like, you know, is this the only thing she's trying to get involved with?
Mm-hmm.
Because if her cooking is terrible,
right,
well, then that's an issue.
Yeah.
But maybe if she's, you know, getting in the way a little bit, say, you know, oh, we don't want you to do everything. We want you to be able to enjoy the day. Maybe you could just make this one appetizer.
Right.
That'll give her something to keep her busy.
Yeah.
And make her feel involved.
Right. When it's your wedding day, you want nothing to do. It is so stressful and everything involved in the wedding. I don't care if you're the groom, if you're the bride, if you're the mother of the bride, if you're the mother of the groom, the officiant, everyone gets stressed on the wedding day.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be worrying about something on the wedding day. That's why you hire people.
Yeah.
Because those people aren't there for your day. They're there to do their job. Exactly. So that they'll end up doing a better job because they're there to do a job.
Yeah. What I would say is a good way to handle it would be to say to your mother-in-law, you know, we want you to be with us.
Right. I don't want you to be stressed all day.
Yeah. I want you to be here and part of the day and not worrying about other stuff. So it's more important to us. You know, we appreciate you wanting to be a part of this and stuff. But you know, wanting to help, wanting to contribute to the day, but you just being here with your daughter and, you know, me on our wedding day are memories that we'd rather than you being in the kitchen, you know, maybe stressing out. And just FYI, I officiate weddings.
Oh,
one of my favorite things to do. I actually officiated Clark's wedding here.
Yes, you did.
To his lovely wife, Karen.
Yes, indeed.
And so far it's working out.
Knock on wood.
We both knocked on wood. It's actually wood too. It's a nice wood desk. And I can tell you from going to a lot of weddings, if the food sucks, it's a mess.
Oh,
it's a mess.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
It's like you already don't want to be there. The only people that want to be at a wedding are the bride and the groom.
Yeah.
And like everyone else is just like, you're there, but you're like, you don't want to be there.
No, but you could also, you know, just say, we're going a real specific way with the food. We're getting food trucks.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Nothing for you to do, Mom. But no, I think if, you know, without it, because it sounds like your mother-in-law is very sweet and loving and wants to help and wants to, you know, participate and add something to the day. But you can really explain to her, you know, you being here and being part of our special day and part of our love is adding more than you can.
Right. Know. It means more than if you cooked something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't. And if she's insistent, you could do that thing. Well, maybe you could just make this one thing.
Right.
Because if one thing at the wedding is crappy to eat, you can get away with the rest.
Exactly. You just, you know, make sure that the trash is big enough to carry whatever she just made.
Exactly.
So that everyone make can sure just scrape it off.
Napkins with the hors d'oeuvres so that someone can politely spit it out.
Exactly. Do you like going? Do you like being at weddings? You're at a lot of weddings. Do you like being at the weddings?
I love doing wedding. When I did your wedding, it was the first time I really got it when we were standing up there.
Because
usually at a wedding, you're sitting in the seats. You're kind of seeing the back of the bride or the groom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what did they say? What's going on? And when I was doing your wedding, it was the first time that it was like, I am here and you and she are there and we are getting married.
Right.
Like, it was us three standing really close and it's the best seat in the house.
Yeah. And it's something, it feels like it's an untapped market because it's just like a moment of pure joy.
Yeah.
And you're there as the officiant to kind of like narrate the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're there for the audience.
My ceremonies are really personalized. I tell the story of the bride and the groom. So it's no two ceremonies are ever alike at all.
Right.
You know, unless it's like, I don't know, two pairs of twins that did all the same stuff together. Right. But and that would be kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really personalized. I really get to know the couple. I'm able to help and be objective and not, you know, not stressed out.
How many weddings, what's the percentage of people that ask for the, if anyone has a problem, say now or forever hold your peace?
I have never said that.
Not once?
Not once.
Not one time?
I do not say that. And I do not, I'll say, I put together the ceremony with the couple.
Sure, of
and
course.
It's what they, but nobody has ever said like, who, you know, can you please ask if someone has a problem? Like the bride's like trapped. Can you please, please ask if anyone has a problem?
I'm actually just shocked that nobody's wanted to do it as a bit.
Oh, I know.
Like, oh, I've got a buddy that's going to come out and go, yeah, don't marry him.
No, that's never happened. And I don't say the stuff about who gives away this.
Right.
Like they come down, you know, the dad or the dad and the mom or whoever walks the bride down the aisle and they kind of like shake the groom's hand and like give a hug and, you know, give her away. But it's not that like, who is accepting this parcel? Right. You have to pay for it and sign.
They're not giving her away as much as they're approving of the union.
Yeah, they're passing her off.
Right. They're yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I do like weddings. I do. I mean, I've come to really enjoy them and I get to know the couples that I'm marrying. And but it's always odd. There's that one moment in anyone's wedding, like when the dancing starts and I'm like, I got to bounce. I don't need this. And growing up, bar and bat mitzvahs, I'm like, OK, heads up, seven up. We're done.
Right.
Hula hoop challenge. No, thank you.
Oh, how the worst part of any wedding is that like hour and a half to 2 hours after the ceremony, but before anyone can eat or do anything.
Yeah. When,
the worst.
Well, that's where we got to be careful with our caller, because if mom and her bad cooking are going to produce an hors d'oeuvre, have a bunch of other stuff. Because yeah. That is interesting. That hour, it's a cocktail hour.
The cocktail hour is the worst.
When all the important people are taking their pictures, exactly. And all that kind of stuff.
So everyone else is just sitting in the room, yeah, listening to the DJ kind of play the non-dance hits.
Yeah, we're outside on the patio drinking, yeah, the signature cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, but nobody has food.
Well, no, there's hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres, maybe.
But then you have a bunch of people and it's like you just ask everyone like, how do you know them?
Yeah.
How do you know them?
And how does that last for an hour and a half?
It does, but it's not comfortable.
Seriously.
Although I just did a wedding in Virginia.
Okay. Pandemic wedding?
A pandemic wedding. I thought long and hard,
yeah,
about whether I was going to go.
Seriously.
I live with my father, who's 73 years old. We're very careful. We wash the hands. We wear the masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really thought long and hard about whether I was going to go. And I was talking to my dad about it, because if he had said no, I would have absolutely respected that.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally. He said, you made a commitment to these people. And they had already postponed their wedding. It was supposed to be in June. They moved it to September. So I did decide to go, very socially distanced. And during their, well, that was, I mean, not that that's beside the point, but at their wedding, during the cocktail hour, when they're taking all the pictures, it was so awesome. They had cornhole set up. They had
like
four big lawn games.
Wow.
And it was a really great idea. I took some pictures.
They gave them stuff to do.
Yeah. Plus there was like really good appetizers and there was like the, you know, the bar outside.
That's genius.
So I'm like knocking back lemonade and kids are playing cornhole in this like big tic-tac-toe game where you have to throw Velcro balls and get it to stick to get tic-tac-toe. That was really, really cool.
That sounds amazing.
And I would much rather rather throw a party than go to a party. I like to have something to do.
Right.
So if there's an act, it's like, let's hang out on New Year's Eve. Okay, what are we going to do?
Right.
I don't know. We'll hang out. It's like, no, can we watch? We need to watch a movie. Are we going to play Scrabble? Right. What are we? This is lacking an activity.
Sure.
I just like that little bit of structure. So that was actually really, really nice. And a bunch of people were over there just having a good time. And it was a really lovely affair. It was much smaller than they were anticipating.
Of course.
Because, you know,
not a lot of people were coming. I'm sure.
Not a lot of people were coming or traveling and stuff. And then when I got home, it was kind of hard. But like when I got home, I didn't go anywhere near my dad. When I got home that first night, when I got home from the airport, he was like, hey, how's it going? He was in his bedroom sitting on his bed. I sat outside of his bedroom in the hallway with a mask on to talk to him and like
So I
really was careful about that because it's a risk.
It is.
It's educated, calculated, big risk it to is. Have gone. And
but we're gonna talk more about pandemic in a second. Let me actually switch over really quick if we're good with the mother-in-law question.
I think so. Good luck.
I have a question from a Johnny Cage in Facebook land, not the Mortal Kombat Johnny Cage, I'm assuming, but he's asking how much vodka in a day is too much vodka.
Oh,
yeah. See, that's a pretty interesting question.
That is an interesting question that doesn't necessarily have an answer. But my first gut feeling is if you're asking yourself that question, there might be an issue.
Right. Yeah. No.
As soon as you have to start making rules about like, well, I'm going to drink, but I'm going to start at 11 a.m.
I mean, think about if you switch vodka out for anything else in that sentence, it's going to sound sketchy.
Yeah.
Like even if it's pancakes, how many pancakes a day is too many pancakes? Like,
yeah,
you're eating too many pancakes if you're asking that question.
Yeah. Were you able to logally crawl over to your keyboard to type it out?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's my reaction to that is anything that you are having to consider, how can I keep doing this and get away with it?
Right.
Then that's something to look at.
That's true.
That's something to look at.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's, you know what? Here, this will be good. We can actually move to the pandemic question I have here.
Ooh.
This is Brandon. Brandon didn't say where he was from, but he has some major problems. Let's see. Speaking of
Hello, mothers, my name is Brandon, and I am fathers. In dire need of your advice. I, like many millennials, have a boomer mother, and this current presidency, shall we call it, I use that term loosely in this instance, has turned her into a raving lunatic. Gone is her advanced graduate degree, medical training, and in has come all of the misinformation. This presidency has brainwashed her. How do I bring her back to the light? How do I deprogram my own mother? Please help me out. Bye.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Well, to give anyone who listened to our first episode knows that we recorded it on November 7th.
Yep.
So at this point in our lives, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the president and vice president elect.
So at the very least, your mother won't have that president to follow anymore.
Yeah, it's
not that he's going anywhere.
That has been the most mind-boggling thing.
Yeah,
is to see people that, you know, say, well, you are educated and, you know, and just say, what is happening to you?
Exactly.
Wow. I am sorry for that. Obviously, it sounds like you love your mother.
Yeah.
Because you're concerned.
And I do feel like that might be where you want to start from. You might really want to look. Sometimes the best way to fight something is with kindness.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is kind of one of those situations. Look, it's your mom. You know what she's capable of. You know what kind of tricks that she's going to pull. You've grown up with her your whole life. You got to kind of figure out the kindest way to just get her back on track. You kind of have to just keep hitting her with the truth, right? And be as kind about it as possible. Try not to make her feel like she's too stupid, but you hit her with some kindness, you hit her with some truth, and hope that some of it sticks? I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's difficult as divided. I mean, it's like beyond divided. There's a chasm.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can mend that.
But look, here's what I'm going to say. I am not on the side of the argument as 45. I'm not. They use hatred a lot. They really do. They use a lot of hatred and a lot of anger and a lot of fear. And I feel like, look, the best way to tackle hatred and anger is to not let it hit you in that spot that it always seems to hit you, but to respond in a calm and kind way. You got to put yourself above the fray, because the fray will bring you down.
Well, you got to put yourself above the fray, but you also have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So if your mom is spouting things that are hurtful to you, and if you don't want to, if you can't take it, then you step away.
Right.
You know, it's not like,
if anything, here's what I'm going to throw out. If anything, I think I personally, I have learned the strategic art of guilt from my mom. And, and I feel like I'm able to use that power against other people, including her.
Yeah.
So maybe you turn her arguments around on her. Maybe that's how you handle it. You got to be, if she's a guilty mom that likes to put guilt on you, maybe you need to start putting guilt on her. Maybe you need to make her feel a little guilty.
Yeah. I don't know. Kindness. I'm a big fan of kindness and patience. It is not easy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of it. I'm sure. Not saying I'm a big proponent right. and, you know, success at it.
Right.
But, yeah, the most you can do is hope that as time gets better, that you can, you know, that she will. The misinformation, all of that crap will loosen its grip on her if it's not on our TVs 24/7. But in the meantime, you know, are there ways to just engage with your mom on things that have absolutely nothing to do with anything?
Right.
You know, if you're going to go for a walk in the park, the two of you, if you need to be socially distanced or wear masks or, you know, whatever is safest for you, talk about things that have nothing to do with anything, if that's possible.
Or good memories.
Yeah.
Bring up some good memories.
Remember Clinton, mom. just some good memories or anything outside of that, or say, you know, we're going to have lunch today. No politics.
Yeah.
And if she's amenable to that, then you can really find the relationship that has been buried under what has been an ugly time for millions and millions and millions of people.
Absolutely.
So that's what I think. Good luck.
Ugh, that is a rough one.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
But it's going to get a little rougher.
Uh-oh, why?
Because it is time for... Bad dog advice with Lori Beth Denver. love this jingle. Dogs. 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 And then it keeps going. All right. So it is our favorite segment of the week. It is Bad Dog Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
So now, let's preface. Saying that I was being an actor, as some of you know me as, is not a full-time dog, a job, full-time dog, full-time job. It is extraordinarily freelance.
Yep.
So since I started on Nickelodeon in 1984, I have had all kinds of other jobs in between. I have been a copywriter. I worked with Clark at a ad agency.
Advertising.
And we wrote commercials, jingles, and internet thingies together.
Yep.
I have been a courier. Mm-hmm. I have worked in an office. I have done a lot of things, including for a long period of time, I was a full-time dog walker and pet sitter.
Yep.
And stayed with dogs a lot at their houses. You know,
you when stay with my dogs every time I leave.
I do. Yeah. I get to stay with Bags and Flynn.
Yeah.
And so I have had a lot of experience. Again, I am not a professionally trained. Can you be a professionally trained dog?
Who would train you?
I don't know. The Dog Training Association of California.
Oh, yeah. A NATCI.
DTASC. Isn't that the same as the Drama Teachers Association of Southern California where I got my job?
Yeah, I think so.
So I have had a lot of experience with doggies and kids. This segment will be all about like any pets.
Yeah.
But the dog song.
Just dogs.
Exactly.
Dogs.
All right. So, dogs.
First question. Let's go. We are going to start with Ashley. Ashley from Facebook Land has a question for you. She says, or she asks, my female dog continually tries to hump my other female dog. Is this normal? LB?
Wow. I don't think we should be slut-shaming dogs.
No, that's true.
Actually, this is normal. Even dogs that are, you know, male dogs that are fixed, it comes up all the time. A lot of the time, it's just about dominance.
Right.
A lot of the time, it's just about, wanting to start to wrestle and play. Clark's dogs are a very large black
lab. Yep.
And a very small Chihuahua black mix something.
Runt. Horrible.
And Flynn, the little one, will just start humping Baggy.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's horrible. It's on nonstop.
Yeah. And it's not sexual.
No.
It's not, it's about dominance. It's about a lot of times like a beginning wrestling position. Like, you know, in wrestling, like real wrestling in high school where they start in that really suspect position. Think of it that way.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a jealousy too. Yes. Right. If I'm paying a lot of attention to Bagheera and giving him the loving, then Flynn's gonna get all jealous and wanna show dominance. Yeah.
So that's most likely what it's for. If they happen to be in love and I hear that you sent them to dog conversion camp, I will come and find you.
Okay.
Because that's just I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so upset.
No, it's okay.
But the doggies are good doggies. And, you know, when one dog is humping another and mounting them, what I've learned is you can take get off and pull them off as many times as you want. The only thing that makes a difference is for that other dog to turn around and say, get the fuck off.
Right.
Me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, your dog's like Bagheera doesn't even care. Yeah,
exactly.
He probably doesn't even notice.
Exactly. He's about four times the size as Flynn.
Yeah.
He's
so just like, it's not doing any harm. There's no, you know, accidental puppies going on, especially with
two ladies,
female dogs, but even a neutered male dog and whatever. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, more dog questions.
More?
We've got more dog questions.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Why not? Okay. This actually is a cat question, but I feel like it could work for both cats and dogs. How do I know? Oh, this is Jack. Another Facebook question. How do I know if my cats are fighting or just loving each other super hard? I can't tell the difference.
Oh, kitty cats. Nothing is more entertaining than watching dogs or cats wrestle.
Yeah.
It is the most stunning, wonderful moment of my life when I get to run into that. And I've run into this as well, as long as I'm running into things.
Sure.
Like at the dog park, when I was walking dogs professionally full time. You know, I would take some dogs to the dog park every day. And there's always a new dog owner that's so nervous. And the dogs are wrestling and they're like, and I'm like, they're playing so good. And what I always tell them is you'll hear it go wrong before you see it go wrong. So if your kitties are like silent play, if you have two dogs that are really going at it, but it's like silent and it's just like all you can hear is the breathing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's just wonderful play. If something happens, you're going to hear a yelp or a squeak or
right,
a bark,
right?
You know, and then, you know, it gets your attention and you can split it up if you need to. But again, with cats, if they're just playing and kind of rearing, but when you hear the, you know,
like,
I'm no Michael Winslow.
Yes. But, very few of us are.
So, you know, if you hear it turn
right.
into something that seems aggressive or like right. even it doesn't even have to be aggressive, just one of them's done playing or something like that, that's the time to worry about it. But if they're both engaged and both, you know, really part of the action, they're just having fun, getting letting off some kitty steam.
Have you ever been watching a pet, a dog or a cat? You never really watch cats that much, but have you ever been watching a pet that did get into a big fight?
Oh, yeah. It just happens. Usually it's just that, like, someone bit too hard, you know, or it's dogs at the park that you don't know. And that's when you, you know, yell. I clap my hands really loud.
Right.
I have a dog voice 1 to 10 on the angry scale. I might pull out like a 5.
All right. Give us a 7 on the dog's anger scale.
Okay, I got to get away from
the thing. Get away from the mic.
Oh, but then Bags is going to think he did something wrong.
He doesn't care.
Okay, so if something turns, I might say, hey!
Ooh, look, Bagheera just got up.
Oh, Bagheera.
That was good 7 dog voice.
Yeah, it's a very stern, and it also helps, I'll say this, because the reason that works, and this works with people as well, is if you are generally nice and loving and happy to see the puppy or the people, that is really where I'm at most of the time.
Right.
So when I pull out a 7 and clap my hands really loud, it means something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, Bag, you didn't do anything wrong. You're a good boy. You're a good boy, good boy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
That's what I got.
That makes sense. All right. We're going to do one more.
Also, if you get a pet, please adopt it from a shelter. Thank you.
Yay. I agree. All right. We're going to do one more dog question here. We have one final question. This is from Johnny. He says, my dogs cause a lot of trouble when we leave the house. He starts immediately when we leave. We have to put a broom through our cabinet doors to keep him from opening the oven. When he opens the oven, he climbs onto the counters. One time we found him sleeping in the top of the fridge. He literally tears our house apart every time we leave. What do we do?
So that was Baggy shaking. If you heard that. This is a dog or a Mogwai?
This is a dog.
Okay.
This is a dog.
Well, if all of this is true, it's impressive. And I hope you have a home camera.
Yeah.
Because that is the $10,000 America's Funniest Home Video winner. Wow. If that show is still on and they have money to give away.
Yeah.
It might behoove you to set up an area where your dogs can be and not have the run of the house. And that doesn't necessarily mean like crate train, you know, it seems like your dog's kind of grown and crate training might be out the window.
Yeah.
But you know, when you have a puppy, people might think, oh, it's, you know, it's so cruel to crate train them. But I mean, it's not good to leave them in there for, you know, 8 hours.
Sure. No, of course not.
You have a puppy, it needs attention.
Right.
But the crate is a safe place for the dog and it just keeps it out of trouble.
Now, here's my dad has a problem with his dog tearing stuff up when they leave the house.
Really?
So you know what he did? It's a very odd way to fix this problem. He started collecting cereal boxes.
Okay.
And then when he would leave two or three cereal boxes on the ground.
For Buddy to rip apart?
And Buddy would just tear them apart and then feel fine, and that would be all that he would do.
Oh, nice.
So it's like he would set up kind of decoys so that the dog would go after the decoys and stop tearing up the rest of the house.
That's awesome.
I don't know. That might be a good solution,
oh,
too.
Buddy, I never knew you were such a scoundrel.
Right?
Buddy is a golden retriever mix.
A golden retriever mix. Very short legs.
Yeah, he's like a basset or maybe a beagle, something like that.
Yeah, but with
he's,
a golden.
Yeah,
with he looks like golden. A golden. Yeah. It's just that he has the shape of a different dog.
Yeah.
Very he's a odd. Good boy. He's a very good boy.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could combine those two things. That is an issue is, does your dog have the stuff he needs to keep himself entertained?
Right.
There's stuff that I'm not to drop a brand name, but Kong.
Oh yeah,
you know, have yeah, the little cylindrical toys. It kind of looks like a soft serve ice cream, but it's rubber.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's worked for me in the past is putting you put a treat in there and it keeps the dog occupied trying to get the treat out. But another thing to make it last longer is to put peanut butter in there, fill it with peanut butter, and then freeze it. Because freezing obviously means you won't get peanut butter, at least as much peanut butter, maybe smeared over everything, but it really keeps the dog busy and focused. And it's a lot of, you know, it expends energy.
Sure.
So I think I might try to employ, Johnny, if I were you, a few of these tactics. Maybe set up a dog gate, you know, although if your dog is jumping on the oven, well, he opens the oven to jump up. So I don't know what kind of super dog you have that's like,
he's like blubber. Making Rube Goldberg devices to try and get his way up to the top of the refrigerator.
Yeah. So if you can create an area in the house,
I'd say stop playing the song when you leave the house. Stop putting on the stop playing that.
Like if you'd stop playing the chase music, you won't be then chased he won't. Anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Yeah. But I would say try creating a space big enough for your dog to be comfortable where he has food and water, especially if that's his deal, and some chew treats, some stuff to keep him busy, you know, something that takes a long time to chew and gnaw on.
Sure.
And see if that helps. And if not, I mean, you just need to move to a different house with no kitchen.
What about thunder shirts? Do you like thunder shirts?
Ooh, thunder shirt. I've had some doggies in my life who have benefited from thunder shirts.
Oh, yeah?
So if it's just anxiety, for anyone who doesn't know, a thunder shirt is this kind of like, almost like a scuba suit
you put on your dog.
And it kind of hugs them. It keeps them tight. It's kind of like Temple Grandin's hugging machine in a way. Where, you know, it just is kind of a support. They're called thunder shirts because the idea was for dogs that are freaked out in thunderstorms.
Right.
But it works for anxiety in general. So you could try that as well. But so we have given you like 29 things to try.
Yeah, seriously.
It is possible you just have a bad dog.
That's exactly right.
So
yeah.
At the end of the day, good luck with that.
Exactly. We'll wish you luck on your dogs.
I love dogs.
All right. Dogs are great. Okay, now let's move on to our final question. It's the final question of the day. Woo!
Oh, my.
All right. So this is from Brooke.
Brooke
is on Facebook, and she asks you, how involved should the family be in recovery? Any resources for families? So I think she's talking about, you know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. How involved should a family be in recovery?
That's a really great question and a really thoughtful question.
Yeah.
It depends on if the addict, alcoholic, the person that needs help, depends on how they feel. You know, that I've learned in my career of using and being sober that I couldn't get sober for someone else.
Right.
I had to get sober for myself.
Right.
So if somebody has chosen that, like, I can't say to somebody, you know, I really think you're an alcoholic. I think you should get, they'll be like, fuck you.
Exactly.
And they won't throw their drink in my face because they want to drink
it. Right, of course.
That's just a waste of a good drink.
Right.
You know, if the person is seeking help for addiction, alcoholism, whatever it is. You know, obviously we know that there are, you know, many resources, therapists, you know, psychologists, rehabs, obviously the 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Marijuana Anonymous, for people to go get help. And depending on how that person feels, you know, their family can be as involved as they want them to be. Yeah. I've seen, you know, people come with their husband, wife, son, daughter as just support. Mm. You know, coming to ask for help.
Sure, sure.
And then, you know, there are some people that are like, you know, my family's the problem.
Yeah, so that was going to say.
Get a little space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it should really be up to the person who's looking for help. But as far as just family, there are programs for that too. I mean, there are just in 12-step land, there's Al-Anon. And there's Naranon, or is it Narcanon? I don't know. I should look that up. I'm sorry, everyone in Narcanon land, if I got that wrong. You know, that give tools to family members dealing with somebody who's either, you know, an active addict or an addict in addiction. Mm-hmm. Because we get trapped in that, you know, I want to fix this. This is my fault. If only I had done this. I want to make them change. Why can't I do it? And it's because, like I said, I couldn't do it for anybody else.
Right.
I had to do it for myself. And anybody pushing me just made me resentful and angry.
Right.
So that's a great way to be cut off.
So it really is more, it's more about the family really than the person that's going into recovery. Because it's a matter of, are they the helpful family that's going to help this person on their road to recovery? Or is this the cause of your problems?
That is why it's very much up to the individual looking for
help.
You know, and
that has to be taken on a family by family basis.
Yeah, that part of it. But if you say, I need some help for myself.
Right.
Then you go, you know, Brooke, as a family member, and go get that. Sure. Whether it's talking to a therapist or whether it's going to a support group or, you know, Al-Anon or whatever it is, that you're doing that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that for you to help you get the skills and the tools to teach you how to understand what's going on with your, you know, family member. Or what to do, maybe what not to do. And you'll get advice from other people who have been in that situation.
Right.
But as far as direct involvement with someone's recovery or sobriety, it's really up to that person.
Right.
You can always say, I'd be happy to go with you somewhere if you want to talk. But, you know, don't say like, we're going on Thursday.
Right. Because even if you are the helpful, supportive, kind family and you weren't the cause of the problem that started it all, there's a possibility that the person that needs recovery just doesn't feel comfortable talking about it in front of their family friends. Like maybe that's something that's like, I appreciate you wanting to help, but I kind of need to be alone to do this because I want to be truthful and honest when I go there. So,
well, and that's the whole point though. If they're going for help, they're not alone. So it's not the same as, you know,
exactly.
If your super alcoholic cousin is like, I'm going to live in a cabin.
Right.
That's a little different. You might want to call the police for a wellness check. But if someone is actively seeking help to get sober, to stay sober, to try to recover from addiction, that's a really big chunk they've already taken out of what's going on. And they'll be able to let you know, as long as you let them know, I am here to support you. Let me know what you need.
Right.
Then that's really the most you can do on their end. And like I said, on your end, you have all those resources for you, which has nothing to do with them.
Right. Absolutely. But there could be very helpful for you and the whole family. You know, I feel like there's lots of really good people out there that can help and fix these problems.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there who've been through it themselves.
Yeah,
and that's what's really helpful.
Totally. Excellent.
Good luck, Brooke. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, Brooke. All right. Well, that's it. That's the end of yet another episode.
Excellent.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
I had fun.
We helped somebody.
I hope that we helped. I'm hoping that we helped Johnny Cage only because I love that name.
Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage.
I hope if that first caller is listening, now he knows that he can call up and leave a question.
Right? Yeah, I hope so.
If you're listening, caller.
I forget what that guy's name was. What was that guy's name? He didn't leave a name. He
didn't leave his name.
Yeah, he was just rambling for a little bit.
He didn't want to impose on any level.
I know. He was very considerate. He was almost
Canadian.
Don't go that far. That's just mean. All right. Well, I had a great time. I hope you had a great time. And we will see you again soon. We need your questions.
We want your questions. I want to know what we can help you with. Please send them in to Ask Lori Beth on Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, we are at Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg. We also... yeah, this, askloribeth.com.
What?
How catchy is that?
Come on.
You can send us questions there, or you can leave us a voicemail at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG. Similarly spelled to my name, exactly.
Yeah.
So let us know what we can help with. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good one.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bad Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.